Hello there. Welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimek. Thanks so much for tuning in to the show today. We've got a great program for you. Hope you can stick around for the entire 30-minute broadcast. Coming up later, after we do the Mass readings from Daily Mass, we'll be visited by Dr. Alveda King. This is an interview that I recently broadcast on my Spirit of the Morning show. She's going to be talking about some pro-life issues. And I think Dr. King is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. She's got some powerful things to say. I loved doing the interview with her, and I think you're going to enjoy what she has to say. And today's Mass readings will take us once again to the book of Numbers. We'll learn more about Moses and Aaron, and the gospel today is a very tough gospel. This is one that could be a little challenging, so it's one that we need to take a closer look at. And it reminds us of the importance to be persistent when we pray. Sometimes not easy to do that, but it's something we need to remember. When we pray, don't give up. So with that in mind, let's begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus. Thanks for the Holy Spirit. Thanks for never deserting us. Father, help us to continue to walk on the path which will lead us one day, with your help, to heaven. Help us be lights shining in the darkness. Please accept all of our problems, whatever they may be. And Father, handle them for us today. We know that you can do a better job of it than we can. So we ask for your help with that. Father, please bless our families, bless our friends, bless all of those around us, our co-workers, fellow students, people that we see in the supermarket. And please speak through me today so that your words can go forth from my mouth. And I ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in to the show today. By the way, I just today put up the weekly episode of the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled 30-minute podcast. So if you're somebody who struggles with anxiety, make sure you check that out. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com, which is my website, and clicking on the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled button. It's right on the right-hand side, top right-hand of every page. Click there. It'll take you over to my Patreon page. You can sign up for the weekly show as well as the daily Monday through Friday show. You can also sign up for the weekly video, too. So you've got lots of options. If you're somebody who struggles with anxiety, don't do it on your own. Do it with the help of the Lord, and let me guide you. That's one of the reasons I do what I do full-time, because I really believe in the power of Jesus Christ in our lives, and I want to help you to get closer to Christ. So that's, you can find that at followingthetruth.com, more information. And also, if you want to check out Spirit in the Morning, you can do that as well. SpiritInTheMorning.com is our main website. That'll link you to Holy Spirit Radio. You can listen online if you're not in the Philadelphia area. You've got lots of good guests coming on the show. Jeanette Benkovic tomorrow. Father Mark Mary from EWTN was on the show today. Matt Swaim, formerly of the Sunrise Morning Show, now he works for the Coming Home Network. He's going to be on Friday, as well as Dan Burke, who is the executive director of the National Catholic Register. And he's well known for spiritual direction. So we've got lots of good guests on the show. Praise God. The Holy Spirit's been very good to me in giving us lots of good guests. So that's all that's happening. You can check that all out at followingthetruth.com to find out more information about everything I'm doing, including my personal appearances. All right, let's look at the Mass readings today. Today is Wednesday, August the 9th. It's Wednesday of the 18th week in Ordinary Time. Just about halfway, a little over halfway through the liturgical year. So we're headed toward Advent. I know it's still summer, but we're heading toward the Advent season. We're about halfway through. First reading is from the book of Numbers, beginning in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses in the desert of Paran, "Send men to reconnoiter the land of Canaan, which I am giving the children of Israel. You shall send one man from each ancestral tribe, all of them princes." After reconnoitering the land for 40 days, they returned, met Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation of the children of Israel in the desert of Paran at Kadesh, made a report to them all, and showed the fruit of the country to the whole congregation. They told Moses, We went into the land to which you sent us. It does indeed flow with milk and honey, and here is its fruit. However, the people who are living in the land are fierce, and the towns are fortified and very strong. Besides, we saw descendants of the Anakim there. Amalekites live in the region of the Negev. Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites dwell in the highlands, and Canaanites along the seacoast and the banks of the Jordan. Caleb, however, to quiet the people toward Moses, said, "We ought to go up and seize the land, for we can certainly do so." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack these people. They are too strong for us." So they spread discouraging reports among the children of Israel about the land they had scouted, saying, "The land that we explored is a country that consumes its inhabitants. And all of the people we saw there are huge men, veritable giants. The Anakim were a race of giants. We felt more like grasshoppers, and so we must have seemed to them." At this, the whole community broke out with loud cries, and even in the night, people wailed. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "How long will this wicked assembly grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the children of Israel against me. Tell them, 'By my life, says the Lord, I will do to you just what I have heard you say. Here in the desert shall your dead bodies fall. 40 days you spent in scouting the land, 40 years shall you suffer for your crimes, 1 year for each day. Thus you will realize what it means to oppose me. I, the Lord, have sworn to do this to all this wicked assembly that conspired against me. Here in the desert they shall die to the last man.'" Now the people did it. Now they're in all kinds of trouble. One of the things we need to remember is these stories were written thousands and thousands of years ago. So the people at that time responded in a different way than we might respond today. It looks like God's being really nasty here. Looks like he's almost being a jerk. Well, we have to understand, God doesn't change. So it's not like God gets mad one day. Because God can't get mad, because then he would change. Do you see that? But sometimes in the Bible you see what are called anthropomorphisms, which are giving human qualities to God so that it's easier to understand. So it's not like God's just going to get mad one day and say, "Okay, I've given them a chance, now I'm going to get mad." God knows everything that will happen. So he's not surprised by your actions. If you really think that through, it makes sense. Because otherwise, if one day God gets mad at you and his anger flares up, that shows that, number one, he doesn't have perfect knowledge, and number two, it shows that he is not unchanging, which he is. So God doesn't change. But yes, we can accept the fact that God will get mad one day, and I don't want to say punish us, because that's a harsh word. God loves you, but you, by your actions, if you don't follow him and you refuse all of his invitations to repent and turn toward him, yes, it is possible for any of us to go to hell. So we all know that. That's not groundbreaking news. We all know that. What happens here? This is the main point that we should get out of this. How many times do we doubt that God can get us through a situation that he places us in? Because remember, God's all powerful. Anything that happens in your life is somehow an expression of God's will. He doesn't necessarily will somebody to do an evil action, but he allows it to happen. You need to accept that, because otherwise, if you don't accept that, then you sort of take God out of certain situations in your life. Well, God's responsible for all the good, but the bad things, well, he's not responsible. And then you start to feel like he doesn't care. God can always bring good out of any evil. There's free will in the world. So bad things can happen. He doesn't want people to do bad things, but he allows it. He allows Satan to exist and to tempt us. But the point for us, when we look at this first reading, is to trust him more. Well, how do you trust him more? You give him a chance in your life. So do you need something right now? Ask him to help you. Now, you might not get the answer you wanted. You might not get the answer as quickly as you would like, but ask him for what you think you need and keep talking to him. Get to know him every day. And the more you get to know him, the more you'll get to see him in action. And the more you get to see him in action, both in your life and in the scriptures, the more you start to realize just how much he loves you, and therefore anything that happens in your life is somehow an expression of that love, and that God is not going to desert you. Don't look at the obstacles. Don't listen to the naysayers in your life, because they're going to be there. They were there in the time of Jesus too. They're here right now. God told Moses that Moses will be the person to lead the Israelites out of slavery. The people didn't believe that. Moses was in a bit of a tough spot. The people were grumbling. They're unhappy. And as a result, and we do this too, when we don't give God a chance to work his miracles in our lives, then we pay the price. So in a sense, we get punished. Bad choice of words, but it happens. If I don't ask God to help me with something in my life because I think it's not going, he can't fix it, well, then he's not going to fix it. It's not his fault. It's my fault. Keep asking. Keep believing. Keep trusting. You're going to see an example of this in the gospel today, that God can fix whatever it is that you're facing, or at least give you the grace to deal with it. The psalm today is Psalm 106. Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people. We have sinned, we and our fathers. We have committed crimes. We have done wrong. Our fathers in Egypt considered not your wonders. But soon they forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They gave way to craving in the desert and tempted God in the wilderness. They forgot the God who had saved them, who had done great deeds in Egypt, wondrous deeds in the land of Ham, terrible things at the Red Sea. Then he spoke of exterminating them, but Moses, his chosen one, withstood him in the breach to turn back his destructive wrath. Remember those first words that we prayed in this psalm. Remember us, Lord, as you favor your people. Help us out, Lord. Help us out, Lord. Don't make the mistake that the Israelites did. Don't make the mistake that the Israelites did. Trust in the Lord's providence for your life. Just keep asking for what you need. That leads me perfectly into the gospel, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came out and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not say a word in answer to her. His disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Wow, what is happening here? What kind of story is taking place here? Well, essentially, and this is a hard gospel. This is one where we can easily become uncomfortable. Notice what happened. The woman is asking the Lord to heal her daughter. What's his first response? He didn't say a word to answer her. Can you imagine going up to anybody? Let's put Jesus aside. A friend of yours, going up to somebody at the customer service counter at the supermarket, asking for something, and the person doesn't say a word back to you. How do you respond? Excuse me, did you hear me? Or do you walk away in a huff? Any number of reasons. What's God doing here? What's Jesus doing here? Jesus is testing this woman's faith. The disciples say, they're your naysayers. Remember the people that are going to tell you, don't waste your time? They're saying, "Lord, get rid of her. Send her away." But what did Jesus say? "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." She didn't give up. She kept praying with humility. And then he talks about it's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. What did she say? Well, first of all, what would you say? "How dare you call me a dog?" And this is a harsh translation. The original, the closer translation of this in the Aramaic that Jesus would have spoken is more like puppies. It's a sort of a loving term. It's not a, "Hey, you dog." It's not like that. But still, what did she respond with? "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." She didn't give up. She kept asking for what she needed. Eventually, the Lord said, I'm going to reward your great faith. And just like that, her daughter was healed. What a story. Don't be like the grumbling Israelites, who in spite of God giving them Moses to help them and the manna and everything that they needed to survive in the desert, grumbled and said, no, Lord, forget it. You can't do it. Don't make that mistake. If you need something, whatever it is, if you think you need it, you keep asking for it. That faith will grow each day the more you do that, and ultimately that faith will be rewarded. I'm going to take a break now. When we come back, Dr. Alveda King will join us to talk about the work that she's doing for Priests for Life. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to The Gary Zimek Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Steve Goodyear learned a lot of life lessons while playing racquetball. He shared a few of them on his website, lifesupportsystem.com. First, he said, on the court, those who lose their focus lose games. In life, people who are too distracted by yesterday's regrets or tomorrow's problems will never experience the joy of today. Next, when playing doubles, cooperation is essential. No team, no family, no nation will succeed that is plagued with internal squabbling. Third, it isn't over until the last point is scored. Many victories are snatched after one comes back from almost insurmountable odds. So it is with life. And finally, in racquetball, the only way to score is to serve. Likewise, service is the key to life. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Dr. Alveda King is going to be joining us. She's the Director of Civil Rights for the Unborn at Priests for Life. She joins us now by phone. Dr. King, good morning.
Good morning. How are you and all your listeners? Thank you.
We are great. You know what? I am so excited that you are able to join us on the program today. And you know what I love from your biography at Priests for Life? It starts with this. Evangelist Alveda King works toward her purpose in life to glorify God. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And in this day and time, to still live in a nation that can do that and proclaim one nation under God, to have a leader or president that says we don't serve government, we serve God. It's a wonderful time in America, for me at least.
It sure is for all of us. Now, Dr. King, I want to talk about your great work that you do on behalf of the unborn at Priests for Life. But I mentioned on the program yesterday, I'm going to start with the question. You are the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King, a man who is just so held in such high esteem by so many of us. I have to ask you a question that's been on my mind, and you hear different sides of this. Was your uncle pro-life?
My uncle was pro-life. I was born into a pro-life family.
Right.
My father, Reverend A.D. King, his brother, and my mother conceived me in 1950, and Mom had been kind of fooled by a flyer that she received from the Birth Control League or Planned Parenthood, and so Mom was not ready to be a mother, and my grandfather, Martin Luther King Sr., says, you have to have that baby.
Wow.
You can't abort that baby.
Wow.
I saw her in a dream 3 years ago. As he described to me, he said she has bright skin and bright red hair, and she's going to bless many people. And that's interestingly, that's what drew me to Priests for Life, that same pro-life background. And so my uncle, Martin Luther King Jr., once said the Negro cannot win if he's willing to sacrifice the futures of his children for immediate personal comfort and safety. He said, don't be like the Romans who committed infanticide.
Wow.
He said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And one of Father Frank Pavone's favorites over at Priests for Life is that when you value the human personality, you won't kill anybody.
Well, thank you for clearing that up, because your uncle is such a popular figure that everybody is claiming him. People who are pro-abortion say, no, he wasn't pro-life. So thank you for clearing that up. Dr. Martin Luther King was indeed pro-life. Now I want to talk about your great work with Priests for Life. You're the Director of Civil Rights for the Unborn. Talk about, if you will, how you got involved. You mentioned, you touched on it briefly, how you actually got involved and began your work for Priests for Life.
I met Father Frank Pavone at a Right to Life conference at the end of the 20th century and up in New York. He was a speaker at a Right to Life meeting, and I was as well. I was defending the Ten Commandments and the right to have that in the public square. I was defending pro-life and school choice, interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. And Father Frank read that quote from my uncle during his remarks at that conference. And so he and I began to talk about pro-life issues. That was our first meeting. And we became good friends, and he introduced me to Janet Morana over at Priest for Life. And I began to be silent no more. That's one of the programs at Priest for Life, the Silent No More Awareness Campaign.
Sure.
And all of that informally, about 12 years ago, I became director of African American Outreach with Priest for Life. And we have, of course, now changed that name, Civil Rights for the Unborn. And so that's how I became involved with Priest for Life. I became pro-life in 1983 with a Christian conversion, born-again experience.
Wow.
And I fully repented for my own secret abortions and my miscarriage and all of that that was tied to the abortion, you see. And so I've been pro-life since 83, but I've been with Priest for Life for about 12 years.
Well, you are doing great work. We see you out there standing up for life. You are, as you said, the director of Civil Rights for the Unborn. Dr. King, those civil rights are threatened, aren't they?
When we think about it, Civil Rights for the Unborn is what we do at Priest for Life.
Right.
But pro-life means from conception or fertilization in some cases until natural death. And that's the poor, the sick, the elderly, the babies in the womb. We have to value that human personality, that God-given gift. And God instructs us in His Word. He says, I give you a choice, life and death, blessings and curses. But choose life. And that is what we defend. We are also informing people about euthanasia and all that's involved with that. And they call it mercy killing, so they used to.
Yeah.
But certainly, you don't want to take people's right to live, their civil right to life. You don't ever want to. That's a sacred right. The sanctity of life is very, very important.
It sure is. Now, what are you hearing from the people out on the street? What are you positive? I mean, because all that I hear indicates that we're winning this battle. What do you hear?
Here in America, blessedly, when abortion first became legal in 1973, on my birthday, January 22nd, by the way, there was an outrage, a shock. People protested for a while. The pro-abortion, pro-death movement began to be very clever, working with Planned Parenthood and other agencies or agents to convince people that abortion was a civil right, and it's not. It's a civil wrong. So over a period of years, you had more abortion mills in America than you had pregnancy care centers. Those are the centers that help the mother and the father, the family, whomever, all the stakeholders, including the baby. And so today, though, there are more pregnancy care centers in America than abortion mills, outnumbering 3 to 1 sometimes in many cases. And so the people's heart, as people have been informed about what abortion really is, Americans are responding. Blessedly, we have a pro-life president as well, Congress and vice president and all of that, who understand the dilemma and who are working very hard for the sanctity of life as well. So, yes, we are winning. Praise be to God.
Amen.
But don't give up.
That's
keep
right.
Praying.
Yeah, and let's talk about that, Dr. King, if you could. We have about 2 minutes left before break. Somebody could be listening today saying, well, I'm just one person. There's nothing I can do to help to protect the rights of the unborn. What can each of us do? What's something that we can do to get involved in the pro-life movement?
I had a wonderful pastor who passed away in 2015. I attend Believers Bible Christian Church in Atlanta, and he used to say, everybody, if we just each do our part,
right,
nobody will burn out, and we'll be blessed. So what you can do, everyone listening, first we can pray together and thank God for our own lives and pray about the sanctity of life. And then when we move away, into other opportunities. We can support pregnancy care centers. We can protest at abortion mills. We can contact our elected officials. We can donate to the cause. We can stand out with a sign and protest in front of that abortion mill, as I say. There are so many things that we can do. Write your elected officials, encourage them to support that sanctity of life, and encourage your church leaders to tell the truth and speak out and help women who are in distress. Mother Teresa has some of the best quotes of pro-life. Mm. Become familiar with those.
Yeah.
So there are so many things that we can do, but we must each do our part.
That's
find out what your part is, and you may say, I never had an abortion. That's great. So counsel some who have, and
that's
pray
right.
with some who have. So there are so many things that we can all do together, and we are winning, and we give God praise for that.
Amen, amen. Dr. Alveda King, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. Where can we follow you online, find out more about your work?
PRIESTSFORLIFE.org, priestforlife.org. Read my books, America Returned to God, How Can the Dream Survive If We Murder the Children? Those are some things that you can do. And pray for me, I pray for you, and God bless everyone.
Sounds like a good deal. Dr. King, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you, and keep up the good work, my sister.
Thank you, God bless.
All
Bye.
Right, Dr. Alveda King. Wow, powerful.
So, it's Ash Wednesday. You just got sloshed with ashes, and you have to go to the grocery store. Worried everyone is going to be staring and thinking, I wonder if that guy knows he has dirt on his forehead. If so, fear no more. Here's a few ways to respond to the befuddled looks. You can start by laughing with them. Weird, huh? And then you can explain, today begins a special season for Christians when we focus on the fact that we're going to die, hence the ashes, and that we need to turn away from sin and get right with God. You then might share how in ancient times, ashes were used to express sorrow for sin. The visible sign represents our interior conversion. So with a few responses like these in your quiver, there's no need for awkwardness. I'm Carlo Broussard with The Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
We are back. Thanks so much for tuning into the program today. I'm going to run now. If you have any questions, you can always email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. Again, I'm so grateful that you are a listener to this program each day. Please do me a favor and help spread the word. If you're able to send along a donation, that would be very much appreciated as well. You can go to followingthetruth.com and click on donate to donate securely through PayPal. You can either become a monthly sponsor, which is very much needed, or you can make a one-time donation, whatever works best for you. In the meantime, keep following the Lord every day. Keep talking to Him each day. And if there's something that you need, as we saw in the gospel, ask for it and don't hesitate. If the Lord is not saying no, then keep on asking for what you need. Thank you so much for being a part of this program. Remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is right by your side. Make sure you tell Him hi. Turn around, tell Him hi. Talk to you next time. God bless.
The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.